Brothers and sisters, it is a true joy and honor to worship God with you today at this beautiful basilica. We're 4 days, as you know, from the celebration of Thanksgiving. And in addition to all the blessings in our life and those of our families for which we will rightly turn to give God thanks on Thursday, today we all have a special source of gratitude. Last night's extraordinary beatification of Father Solanus Casey. Thanksgiving was such a characteristic of his life. He regularly and contagiously repeated those words in Latin, Deo gratias, thanks be to God. When he helped others to pray, he would tell them, thank God ahead of time for hearing the petition. And so it's fitting for us today to thank the Lord in advance for hearing the invocation made yesterday at the beatification. In the presence of 65,000 in Ford Field and tens of millions on television and live stream, Cardinal Angelo Amato, on behalf of Pope Francis, asked God to give us all a special grace. This will be the very same grace that priests throughout the world will solicit from God every July 30th, which will be Father Solanus' feast day. It's a grace that's particularly relevant to today's readings and to the special feast Pope Francis has begun today on the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, which we will mark every 33rd Sunday for as long as we're alive, the World Day of the Poor. What's the gift we prayed for yesterday? The Church prayed with Cardinal Amato. O God, who in your providence has patterned Blessed Solanus after the image of your only begotten Son, making him tireless in listening and in service to the poor. By his intercession and example, grant also to us the same generosity and joy in giving of ourselves in service to our neighbor. God wants to give us the grace of emulating Blessed Solanus and Jesus Christ himself in cheerfully, generously, and tirelessly giving ourselves and not just our things in service to the poor. We all know about Father Solanus's charity. It began at home with the way the Casey family in western Wisconsin regularly used to welcome into their homes families and individuals who were going through difficult times and needed a dinner or needed a place to crash that night. We saw it throughout his priesthood and religious life, and nowhere more powerfully than here in Detroit, when during the Great Depression, to help those who were suffering from hunger, he created a soup kitchen to feed those who were starving, seeing those lines grow from hundreds each day to thousands. As Cardinal Amato said yesterday about him, Father Solanus took seriously and responded wholeheartedly to Jesus' words in the gospel. Whatever you did for one of these least brothers and sisters, you did for me. Father Solanus' was a response of love. In exhorting us to respond to the same Lord's summons, Father Solanus gave us a commentary on his motivation. He said, God loves us. Let us also seek to love God. And God told us very clearly how he wants us to love him. You remember what he said during the Last Supper. He didn't say, love me as I have loved you. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Likewise, after the resurrection, when Jesus met Simon Peter on the seashore of Galilee, Simon Peter, still weighed down by the shame of having denied even knowing Jesus 3 times on Holy Thursday night, Jesus gave him a triple opportunity to declare his love. Simon, son of John, do you love me? He asked. And 3 times, the rock on whom he built his church replied, yes, Lord, I know, you know that I love you. And Jesus didn't say to him, great, I love you, you love me, we're one happy family. No, he didn't say that. He said, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. Peter's love for Jesus, the good shepherd, would be shown in the way that he cared and tended and fed those whom Christ was entrusting to him. We really can't love God without loving those whom God loves. That's why Blessed Silanus said, let us seek also to love God, and this is the means. Today's gospel, Jesus preaches to us the parable of the talents. We normally think of a talent as a skill or an ability, like having a great mind like Monsignor McGlory, or a great singing voice like the members of our choir, or great athletic ability. But a talent was a measurement of weight, the equivalent of 71 pounds. When the master gave one talent to the third servant, he was given him 71 pounds of silver, the equivalent of 6,000 days' wages. If someone were making the minimum wage here in Michigan of $8.90 an hour, one talent would be worth $427,000. Five talents at minimum wage would be worth $2.14 million. Even the servant who had received one talent still received a fortune. And the master, who trusted the three servants, was counting on them not to bury that gift, not to waste it, but to invest it. In worldly eyes, Blessed Silanus was not someone who would have gotten into a gifted and talented program here in Royal Oak. Because of the hardships his family endured that forced him as one of the oldest of 16 kids to go to work at a young age, he was very delayed in finishing elementary school. He entered high school seminary at the age of 21. He was eventually asked to leave the seminary because the young Irish-American couldn't master the German language in which classes were taught and exams given. When he entered the Capuchins, still struggling with German and academics taught in German, his superiors eventually decided that they would ordain him a priest, but didn't trust his intelligence and education enough to give him the faculty to hear confessions or to preach like I'm preaching now. But Father Silanus never complained. He never resented that he was given less than his classmates. He thanked God for what he had rather than moaned about what he didn't have. He didn't get jealous that somebody else may have been given 2 or 3 or 5 or 50 talents. He wanted to invest what God had graced him with. And he knew that he had so much. His greatest talents were his faith, hope, and charity. His ability to bring God from heaven to the altar each day. The privilege God gave him to love so many who would approach him each day at St. Bonaventure's. He invested the talent he was given and returned not just one to the master, not just five to the master, but so many that all the accountants alive wouldn't be able to document that rate of return. What about us? How do we look at the gifts we have? What do we do with them? How do we use our time, our skills and capacities, our money? How do we invest the awesome treasure of our faith, the extraordinary gift of God in the sacraments, the mind-blowing reality that we can speak to God each day in prayer, the wisdom and power we receive from God's holy word? Today, Pope Francis is asking the church throughout the world to live with him well the first World Day of the Poor. He announced it just about a year ago, last November 20th, which he said, from this point forward, before the Solemnity of Christ the King, which will take place next Sunday, he wants the whole church to focus on the fact that when the eternal Son of God took on our flesh and entered the world and manifested himself as the King of the universe, he showed us that for him to reign is to serve, to rule is to love, and that if we want truly to follow Jesus, we must, like him, identify with the little ones and the poor and carry out with passion the works of mercy. Pope Francis wanted us to remember that there are so many poor men and women, boys and girls like Lazarus in Jesus' parable at the doors of our homes or our city. And Jesus is summoning us to be good Samaritans and care for them in their necessity. The Holy Father wrote a powerful message for today, in which he said, love has no alibi. We can't make an excuse for not loving. We have to take the Lord as our example, especially when it comes to the poor, he said. He spoke of those like Blessed Silanus, whom God has raised up in every age, who have devoted themselves to the service of the poor and shown us how to keep our gaze on what is essential. He said, God calls us to draw near to the poor, to encounter them, to meet their gaze, to embrace them, and let them feel the warmth of love that breaks through their solitude. And he wants all those of us to stretch out our hands to those pleading for help and solidarity. I think now that Blessed Silanus is beatified, the church would probably give him the capacity to preach on Sunday. And if you were here, as he was here in this chair, praying, I think that he would use the opportunity to say how happy he is that his beatification took place on the vigil of the first World Day of the Poor. Because if he were still here among us, he would be leading the charge and celebrating this day as the Pope has asked. There's still so much need in the world. I work for Pope Francis at the United Nations, and one of the problems that the world is confronting, and on which the Church always seeks to play a leading role, is in combating global poverty and hunger. There are 700 million people in the world today, 9.6% of the global population, who live on under $1.90 a day. 700 million, twice the population of the United States. 815 million people don't have the minimal amount of food each day to live a healthy life. 155 million children, like some of our servers today, are stunted. Their development has been severely affected by chronic malnourishment. Here in the United States, despite all the blessings God has given us, there are many who fall through the cracks of our social welfare system. 1.49 million people last year spent at least a night in a homeless shelter, and 565,000 are chronically homeless. There's so much to be done. We know that Blessed Silanus in his lifetime didn't solve the problem of poverty or homelessness or hunger. Jesus Christ didn't in ancient Palestine. But Silanus cared for the poor, the homeless, the hungry, the sick, and whoever was in need who came to him, doing whatever he could. And that's what God's asking of each of us as well. On this World Day of the Poor, we turn to God and we ask him anew that just as he patterned Blessed Silanus in the image of his son, in his son's service to the poor to the point of shedding his blood, so through Blessed Silanus' most powerful prayers, he may make us just as generous and joyful in giving of ourselves to our neighbors in need. And to strengthen us for this task, we receive the greatest talent of them all. We come to the same source from which Blessed Silanus received his charity every morning, Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist. As we prepare to enter into Holy Communion with Jesus today, we unite ourselves with him who said he came into the world to proclaim the gospel to the poor, with him who was so poor that he was born in a stranger's cave and buried in a borrowed grave. With him who said he didn't even have a place to lay his head. With him who reminded us that whatever we do to the least of his brothers and sisters, he takes personally. Let us adore Jesus here, and filled with the world's greatest talent of all, Jesus himself. Let us go out and, like Blessed Silanus, invest this gift of charity ignite the world with the fire of God's holy love, so that at the end of our life, with Blessed Silanus, we will see Christ wave us to his glorious right, telling us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in this order of charity. Come, share your master's joy." God bless you all.